Our scripture reading today is Psalm 29, a psalm of David. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon leap like a calf, Siren like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace.
The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So when I was in my early teens, particularly in the time that when I was entering puberty, there were many concerns that I had, right? Many things that I were concerned about. But one of them was my voice. My voice started cracking. Then I didn't like that change. And my friends didn't like change. And in that way, I was losing my girlfriend, right? But then I was worried that I would have that voice when I grew up. And it was obvious that no one would like a preacher who would use that voice. Yes, do you like your voice? Do you like God's voice? Do you hear it well? In Psalm 29, David gives us a description of the voice of God. It is called the Psalm of the Seven Thunders. David has found God's voice in the thunder. Yes, David describes God's voice as so powerful, full of majesty, that when it utters, the cedars of Lebanon shatter in pieces, and the mighty ox roll and strip the forest. And what David describes here is like a combination of hurricane and tornado, earthquakes and mega lightning and all thunderstorm rolled into one. Again, so powerful, roaring, frightening, causing awe and astonishment. Yes, of course, fear. But it seems that David had some different experiences with it. Again, he found God's glory in the storm. And I imagine the shepherd boy, David, out in the field with his flock, and a storm approaches. He could see it from the other side of the horizon. And then trying to find a cave to flee to, he gathered the sheep in a rush and leads them to the safe place. Having made it to the cave, he would be relieved while he stands close to the entrance of the cave, watch the mighty wind and thunder as it causes the ground to tremble, the trees to shatter, the sky to roar. He feels the concussion of its pressures even in the cave because it's mighty. But he knows that he is in a safe place. So to the young shepherd, it feels as if the great storm speaks the voice of God. And it must be amazing and wondrous to see that the storm reveals what has been hidden or forgotten to his eyes about God's creation. Then the whole thrilling experience of the storm turns into a sacred, precious, and spiritual experience as the cave then becomes a temple where God's glory is experienced. Now I understand better the paradox that I first felt at this psalm. It's a paradox, for nature's power is of course scary, and yet it causes us to shout out glory. And it seems it's all about where we are, right? If we are out in the field, then the storm is something that we do nothing but fear. But here, as we read in this, as we imagine about the young shepherd David, if we are in a safe place, then that experience is different. David says in Psalm 55, verse 8, I would hurry to find a shelter for myself from the raging wind and tempest. Yes, everyone will and should flee from the storm, and we do so in fear. But once we are in a safe place, we might be in a different place to enjoy that amazement of God's creation. Again, it's the same with the storm of life. The storm of life. New diagnosis of cancer. Abrupt notice of layoff. Derailment of a child. Unexpected death of a loved one. And you name it, the storm of life. Life is struck by the storm. Then we are desperate not only to flee from it, but also to find shelter from it. Here, Psalm 29 tells us, but there is more that we shall find there. It is the voice of God in the storm. Because God is in the storm with us, we can trust that God's voice is speaking to us in the storm. In the storm. What an assurance. What a blessing. One of the stories that I loved from the Synoptic Gospels, the Mark, Luke, and Matthew all together, tells this story, Jesus in the storm. One day, Jesus and his disciples were crossing the Sea of Galilee in a boat, and suddenly a furious storm came up with a thundering sound, and roaring waves break over the boat. But Jesus was on a cushion in the stern, sleeping. Then the disciples woke him and told him, "Teacher, teacher, do you not care that we drown now?" Then there were the voices of Jesus, first to the raging storm, "Peace, be still." Then to the disciples, he said, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith while you are with me?" And most of you have heard a sermon on this story. So the only thing that I have to say here today is what I can repeat. There is a voice of the Lord in the storm of life, to both, to those who boast about their power, which can cause a storm in someone's life, and also to those who cannot be in their right mind while in fear. What they wanted to do is only to flee from it. Jesus has a voice to all in the storm. Yes, there is a voice of Jesus shouting out, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrite!" He wasn't timid to denounce their greed and oppression as he called them, "You snakes, you brood of vipers." But at the at other time, he spoke as a gentle shepherd. In the world, you will have a tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. To those afflicted, I believe his voice is speaking comfort. Meanwhile, his voice may afflict the comfortable. To those who are complacent, indifferent to the pain of others, the Lord may shout and stir up their heart. While to those whose heart is like a restless sea, the Lord speaks peace. And truly, it's not just in the thundering storm that God's voice can be found. And here is another scripture reading that I love to share here. It's the story of Elijah. Elijah had just experienced a phenomenal triumph over the prophets of idol Baal. And the prophets of Baal numbered 450 versus one prophet of the Lord, Elijah. But there was no fire on the altar of Baal. On the contrary, on the altar Elijah prepared for the Lord, the fire fell and consumed the offering. And it was a tremendous display of not only the power of the Lord, but also showed to all the people that Elijah was a faithful prophet and that his God was the one and true God. But shortly after this victory, Elijah learned that Jezebel, the wife of King Ahab, wanted him dead. So Elijah, being afraid, fled for his life. And eventually he ended up being on a mountain following the word of the Lord. Then we read here in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 11 through 12. Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of sheer silence. And how the translation say that there was a gentle whisper or a still small voice. What is that still small voice? Not certain. Yet we see in the following verses that God was speaking to Elijah again after no appearance in the wind, nor in the earthquake, nor in the fire, but in the gentle breeze. Yes, God's peace, God's beloved, sometimes in majestic ways, power, and sometimes tenderly. Sometimes God's spirit is in the wind, rushing and blowing about the earth. And at other times, God speaks in a gentle breeze, as God did Elijah. There are times when the glory of God is too much for any human being to take. His power is sometimes experienced as a frightful reality. And sometimes the glory of God reveals to us, calls us home gently, and assures us tenderly that he is right there. So I remember this song. Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. Why should we linger and heed not his mercies? Mercies for you and for me. Come home, you who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Friends, do you hear the voice of God in the storm of life? Or in the gentleness of life? In the midst of your life, wherever you are, there is a voice of God. And I don't say that God always makes a sound to our ears, but I believe that there is a God's will for our life that God wants to communicate to us. God desires that we know it and we live it. And I don't know what God is speaking to you this day. I don't know where God is calling you this day. It's you who can discern it. Perhaps you already know it, but you have been hesitant to answer it. Okay, I haven't used a joke, kind of the humor much today to deliver my message to you. Here is one. I hope you get it. Okay, there's a man who loved to have a sweet sleep during the sermon. Okay, there is no one who loves to do it here. That's good. And his pastor was getting frustrated. And one Sunday, the pastor came up with an idea. And he started preaching. And sure enough, the man soon fell into a deep, sweet sleep. Then the pastor smiled and said to the congregation, "Everyone who wants to go to heaven, stand up." And everyone stood up except whom? The man who was sleeping, right? And people were snickering at him as the man kind of fell slumped in the pew. Then the pastor asked the people to sit down. Then very gently he said, "Everyone who wants to go to hell," now changing his tone and with a bang on the pulpit and with a rise in his voice, "Stand up!" Then guess who stood up, right? Yes, the sleeping man awoke with a snort and he jumped to his feet, and everyone in the church began to snicker again. Then he looked at all people around him, then look at the pastor standing just like him, right? Then he says, "Preacher, I don't know what we are voting on, but it looks like you and me the only ones for it." Got it? Going to hell, yes. So I don't use this illustration to say that God speaks through my sermon, okay? Listen up. No, no, no. No, I wanted to challenge you and me to examine ourselves whether we are a slave. Examine ourselves on whether we have closed our hearts and minds and ears and yes, spirits to the Spirit of God, as though our soul is asleep, as though we don't believe that there is much to expect of our relationship with God anymore. Does your faith fall asleep now? Does your faith fail to hear God speaking to you? Do you expect God's voice will be heard only in one fashion that you know, like a thundering voice? Again, at times God will speak in big ways. At other times, God will speak in small ways, communicate softly and gently. He speaks to us as we need. And all that I have written this far led me to ask myself, right? Hey, peace, what do you hear God speak to you this day? And I kept that question close to my heart this week. Then I felt as if the voice of God was calling me to the Bible again and again. Because I have seen myself this month having the joy of reading one chapter of the book of Psalms every day. Then I said to myself, right. Yes, I knew that there are few better ordinary ways to hear God than to spend time in God's Word. Yes, it's here in Scripture, just as we experience today through the various passages that we will hear at times the thunderous voices of God and at other times the smooth and great reminders of what God has to say to us. And always in Scripture, we can find God's glory revealed to us. Yes, as for me, I feel God is calling me to this Bible again. And I should also say that I recognize that we can hear God in a variety of ways, right? God communicates to us through the church, through worship, through songs, through nature, and through the people of God. And this way, through all different channels of God's voice, to name a few, yes, Mitch was one of them, and the people that I visit, like Bruce Thompson, and the Cal and Pat Kramer, and Beb Kwam. And I sensed that God was teaching me that, hey, God is not dead, but active and alive around me and in my midst. So, friends, please allow me to ask you again, what do you hear God speak to you this day? Where is God calling you? Where is God calling you? Let me illustrate this message with one more story. One dog was running out to the baseball field and ending up sitting on third base. The crowd began to shout, "Hey, get off the field! Hey, dog, run for home and bite the umpire!" Right? But all the yelling did nothing because there was no dominant voice from the crowd. One dominant voice from the dog's master could have done what the other thousands of voices couldn't do. You know, I'm using this illustration not to say that we are all like the dog in every way. No, but we are the same as the dog in need of listening to our master. Does your master seem silent? Perhaps it's because you are asleep. Because your heart is full of other thoughts and sounds, busy with them. Our life can get to be as chaotic as the thundering storm when there are so many voices proclaiming, they are the way, they are the way to follow. Our life can get blown to pieces when the joy and meaning of life are pursued with many different stuffs, but not with the creator and redeemer of our life, the one that we call our master. As we learn from this psalm, which ends with witnessing God's glory, we can see that the glory of the Lord is better witnessed before our eyes when our mind is focused on Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the way, the truth, and the life. Then again, let me finish with this question. What does the Lord say to you? How do you listen to the voice of the Lord? So now I would like to give you a time to take in silence first to listen to the voice of God, discern what is God's will for you. Then later, I'd like to sing verses 1 through 4 of the song, The Summons, which are written as God's words of invitation. Then I may invite you to join me in singing verse 5. But first, again, let's take a moment in the stillness and quietness of our soul to listen to the voice of God.